I'd like to start with reading just a short passage of scripture for you from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. This is a passage that the Gideons use as we place scriptures. We often pray over them and use these scriptures to claim God's promise. Isaiah 55, start with verse 6 through 11. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Could we pray? Father, thank you for your word, for the promises that you give us throughout your word, Father. We just thank you for them and praise you for all you do in reaching people with your word, the gospel, through your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege to represent the Gideons this morning, and for these folks who share in the desire to see people come to know Jesus Christ. And we just pray that as I have opportunity to share this morning, that it would be the Holy Spirit speaking, and not my words, but those that you would have for each of us to hear. We thank you for the group who's headed out on Wednesday to West Virginia. We pray for them and their mission, and as Pastor has already prayed, for souls to come through that trip. In Jesus' name, amen. We receive back from many people whose lives are changed from the Bibles that we place in the hotels and motels, testimonies of how God has worked in their life. And we like to share those, and I know folks like to hear those as they hear about lives that are changed. And one that has really touched my heart lately because of the situation that we face, not just in the world, but in this country in particular. It comes from a young woman named Deidre. And she wrote a letter to our headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee, very short, and it just said this: "I wanted you to know that I received Christ as my Savior through reading one of the Bibles that you placed in a motel. And then I stole it." Now, the Gideons don't really consider that stealing. The Gideons, as we use God's, God has a purpose for his word as we place that word, and we just pray that that purpose is fulfilled. And so the Gideons wrote back to Deidre and said that exact thing. God's purpose was for you, it was to affect your life and for you to have that Bible. So don't feel any responsibility in the fact that you took it. It was not stealing. And that didn't satisfy Deidre, so she wrote back to the Gideons, and she said, "But you don't understand. I thought I stole it." So, the first opportunity when I met a Gideon, I gave him $5 for that Bible to relieve my conscience, so I didn't have to think about stealing that Bible. Now, that's kind of the light side of this story. There's more to the story of Deidre. What was Deidre doing in that motel room that night when she had that appointment with God when he met her there and changed her life as she was drawn to the Bible that the Gideons had placed. Well, she had traveled from her home, small town, to a city nearby because she had an important appointment early the next morning, and she didn't want to be late, so she came in and spent the night in the motel. That appointment, as it turns out, was at an abortion clinic where Deirdre was going to end the life of the baby that she was carrying in her womb. But God intervened. God had other plans for her and for that baby. And so Deirdre never kept that appointment. And her response back to the Gideons was this: "When my daughter is old enough to understand, I plan to give her this Bible and explain to her how God intervened and saved both our lives." And that has touched me because of the situation that we face in our country with the abortions that are taking place. That's just one of many, many testimonies. The Gideons have been placing those Bibles for 112 years with one goal, that men, women, boys, and girls come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And God has expanded the ministry of the Gideons because that's how we actually started. Well, not we personally, but the Gideons started placing the Bibles. But God has expanded, and now the Gideons have approximately 200 countries around the world where we share God's word. God's word is so powerful as it changes lives. Even talks about Hebrews 4:12. Says the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And one that's probably familiar to all of us, Romans 1:16, says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek." So God's word says about itself that it is powerful and it can change lives. And as I mentioned, we're now in 200 countries around the world, and because of the virus COVID thing that interfered with much of our distributions in the last March, April, and May, and our year runs a fiscal year from June 1 through May 31. So the last 2.5 months, basically, our ministry was shut down for this past year. But the prior year, over 80 million scriptures went out, and the majority of those, over 40 million, which would be over half, went to countries that we call them an outreach country, but it would be a country that financially is not able to provide funds for scriptures to distribute within their country. And there are about 175 of those that the Gideons are involved in. I had the blessing and the privilege to go to Kenya. That would be a couple years ago. And share in distribution, sharing God's word there in that country. And I think we're going to get, I wanted to show you some slides. Sometimes we talk about giving out scriptures here and there, but you never get to see. You don't get to see, like, the pictures of, you know, what the end result is. And, oh, that one didn't come out too good, but I don't know if you can tell. First of all, let me just say about Kenya is that in the schools, which is where we distributed, they all have uniform color coordinated, so they all come to school, basically all come to school with the same color. So when you see it, you're going to see. Thank you. So this was one of our distributions. This might have been the first one. We distributed to primary schools giving to third grade through eighth grade, and then to secondary schools 9 through 12. And as we do these, there are about 20 slides, I think, and we'll go through them pretty good. But you'll notice a difference in the students simply in their dress as to how they are, how they appear. So the secondary students are going to look to be much better dressed, although they're in uniforms, as than the primary. And you will see also a comparison of the schools, because there's much poverty in Kenya, and they can't afford Bibles, very simply. There was a very wise man, his name was Osi. Actually, he was from Uganda, but he said simply this: the Bible in Africa is a luxury. People will not have one unless it is given to them. And we found that to be very, very true. You don't have the Christian bookstore that you can run down and buy a Bible, and the children and their parents at home did not have Bibles as we distributed these. In 5 days, the team, along with the local team from Kenya, visited 600 schools and left over 150,000 copies of God's Word with students and teachers. Okay, I'm going to go through this a little quicker here. This is my favorite group. I just have to, I'm not going to stop on every slide, but this group, they wanted their picture taken badly. And we had finished the distribution, and they were waiting to go back into their classroom, which is right behind them, and the teacher had not come back yet. And they were asked, take our picture, take our picture. And by the way, in Kenya, English is the major language. Swahili is also, they communicate in Swahili, but English, that's what we gave out the testaments in for the most part. I told this group, I said, you give me a smile, put those Bibles nice and high for us. I'll take your picture, take it back to the United States, and whenever I go, I'll show this picture. You'll be famous in the United States. So they gave me a good smile, and they were actually very, very happy, as were all the students as we went, very happy to get a copy of God's Word. Okay, then you know in the back of the testaments that we hand out, there is a place to sign your name if you accept Christ as your Savior. We had opportunity in the schools there to give invitations. Now, it didn't go to every school because sometimes time did not allow. But this young lady happened to be one. We got a picture of her signing her name, saying she had accepted Christ as her Savior at that time. This was a secondary school. And most of these are going to be students with their testaments. This was a small school. Just to show you how orderly, when it wasn't a mass confusion thing. It was very orderly as they came by and accepted their testaments. The gentleman handing them out in this picture is James Chen, who is our trustee for the Gideons in the country of Taiwan, and he was part of our mission team that went in to Kenya to help. This is just a teacher with their students. These young ladies wanted to accept Christ. We had a chance to talk with them, witness to them, and follow through in helping them as to what they needed to do specifically to accept Christ. This was an all-girls school, 951 testaments we left there. I know we had 1,000 and there were 49 left. That's how I could figure that. Otherwise, I was a math teacher. He did say that, right? So this gentleman right here is the principal of this school. And this was a mixed day school, which mixed simply means it's boys and girls, secondary school. They knew their scriptures. And I know that in Kenya they have or attempt to at least have Bible reading and prayer in the morning with the students, like an assembly type thing. But these folks, they knew everything as I was laying out to them. And so I was a little bit concerned or confused, if you will. So I asked the principal, how it was that his students did so well. He said, well, I'm actually bivocational. He said, on the weekend, I pastor a church. So basically, they hear just like a pastor speaking to them every morning at school. So, again, just pictures of the students getting their testaments, as you can see. I probably visited between 45 and 50 schools myself, and anywhere from 50 students to the one that had 1,000 there, almost 1,000. I had one student in all those opportunities say they did not want to take a testament. Just one. It was amazing. This doesn't show you too much, but I zoned in because this little guy looked so intent on reading his scripture and letting us know. I'm not sure if he could read it, but he was certainly making the effort that to impress us that he was. So I liked that picture, so I put it in. These three young men, high school students, secondary students, all accepted Christ as their Savior. And by now, since I was there, yeah, they're out of school. And who knows what God is doing in their life at this time. Okay. We're good. Thank you. The opportunities for us to do distributions in other countries obviously ended in March because of the virus and the flight restrictions and so on. We had to cancel a number of planned, it would be like the people in West Virginia calling up tomorrow and saying, hey, sorry, you can't come to West Virginia to, do your mission work. And we encountered that situation. In fact, we were supposed to send a team out to Thailand and another one to Ukraine during this month of August, and we've not been able to do that either as things continue to get pushed back. So our ministry, I appreciated Pastor's comments, our ministry has been greatly affected by the opportunity to place scriptures, and we really don't know. One of our things that in the spring, from where I live, Waynesboro High School is... it's a large school, I think, under the Pennsylvania. It's like a class 5. It's next to the largest size school anyway. And we go there, but we have to do a sidewalk distribution. So that means that we can be on the public sidewalk, but not. But we didn't get to do that because they were out of school. And we don't know in many of our situations whether students will be back in school, how we're going to proceed. So prayers definitely would be appreciated for the ministry in terms of being able to continue to do that. The other side of that is people aren't traveling, therefore there aren't as many people going to motels and hotels, and so that aspect of the ministry is affected. We had to change our state convention twice, and then we ended up doing it through Zoom. I think you probably are familiar. A lot of churches and people have gone to Zoom, and some are finding it that they enjoy and are appreciating because they are able to reach people out of their area in some cases, or reaching more people with the gospel. Before I leave the area of the international outreach, I do want to just mention a testimony. India is the fastest growing country in terms of the Gideon ministry. Last year, over 10 million copies of scripture were distributed to people in India. And now I know it's a large country in terms of population, but there's a lot of persecution there from the Hindus persecuting those who turn to the Christian faith, and yet the church continues to grow steadily. And the reason I mentioned that in particular is that the Gideons lost one of their very strong supporters recently as God called home Ravi Zacharias. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's an evangelist and well-known radio, television. God used him greatly around the world. When Ravi actually grew up in India, and as a teenager was not happy with life, tried to take his own life, commit suicide, twice. Fortunately, God saw other things, and he failed. But the second time that he tried, it was very, very serious. In fact, he ended up in a hospital, bound head to toe, if you will, and unable to move his arms. So as he was, his mother spent most of her time at his bedside. And as God had planned, the Gideons paid a visit to that hospital while he was there. And they entered the room and asked if it was okay if they could give him a copy of God's word. And of course, his mother responded, "Well, you can do that, but he can't read it." And the very wise Gideon, probably at God's direction, said, "Well, then, would you please read it to him?" And if you know the story of Ravi's salvation, coming to Christ, it was because his mother sat at his bedside and read scriptures to him, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. The family then moved to the United States, where he got further education, and God, again, used him in great ways. But I think maybe about a month ago now that God took him home. Another illustration of how God works to bring people to find those scriptures or have them hear. You know, if it had been up to Ravi himself, he probably wouldn't have had any interest in God's word, trying to commit suicide and looking to take his own life at that point. So that probably wouldn't have interested him, but because he had no choice but to lay there and let his mother read to him, his life was changed, and God used him in a great way. Those testimonies are wonderful, and they show God's power and his ability to change lives. And something that we need to remember sometimes, as Gideons I'm talking now when I say we need to remember, is simply the fact that it's God who's doing the work in the hearts of the individuals. And sometimes we like to think that, something that we did by putting a Bible in a certain place or handing it to a certain person had an impact. But Paul even wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:6, he said simply this: "I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gave the increase." And we have to remember that it's God who does the work in the hearts of people and changes lives. One of the things that I noticed as I came in, you have a very nice display of cards back there. And I don't know if you use those or not, but they are there's all sorts of blessings that come out of these cards. And I happen to be in my camp down in Franklin County, the person responsible for Gideon cards and making sure that they're in the churches and so on. But we have in memory cards, which was the basic start. If you want to give Bibles in memory of a loved one or someone, you can do that. There's praying for you if someone might be in the hospital or just needs uplifting. And there are others that are thinking of you cards, and there are... the word left me. Isn't that when you get older, Pastor? You know, the white hair, something about that. The word just leaves you. The word was simply ministry, but it wouldn't come to me right then. Ministry appreciation cards, which is simply an opportunity to share with someone that you appreciate the ministry that they're doing. how God is using that, whatever that situation might be. But that's another area that we have for these. And the card is free, but the donation for Bibles, which is inside, you need to fill out and send the funds and send it to the address. They're always addressed, and they go to the local camp. So that would go to Snyder County Camp here, which is, by the way, an excellent camp, partly because Bob Apple is part of that. So I want to finish with one testimony, a gentleman that I had the privilege to meet a couple of years ago. His name is Bruce Morris. His testimony is a little bit different, but I'll take just time to share it. Bruce grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina, and as a teenager, he got involved with the wrong gang. So he got involved in not just using drugs, but delivering drugs. And as is often the case in the cities, there are rival groups and gangs that you don't go into other territories and so on, whatever that situation might have been. Bruce got caught one night away from his group, and the other group gang found him, dragged him into an alley, and actually literally beat him within an inch of his life, as they say. He was able to crawl out enough to get someone to help him. They got him to a hospital where he was in that hospital in recovery for quite a long period of time. As soon as he returned home, the next day, the federal agents knocked on his door and arrested him for selling drugs. He had had prior times with the drug selling and being caught and all of that. So this was kind of his last hurrah. The lawyer told him that there was no chance he was going to prison, and there was no chance he was ever going to get out. He was going to spend the rest of his life in prison. So after all that, he's in a prison cell, and the Gideons visit that prison. And the Gideon assigned to come to Bruce's cell just simply asked him a question. Do you know Jesus? Very common start for trying to get a conversation with someone in a prison. Do you know Jesus? And Bruce's response was simply this: there ain't no Jesus in this cell. Now that's a total turnoff, but the Gideon insisted he wanted to leave the Bible with him and he would pray for him. And Bruce said, okay, I'll take it. So he did. Well, as some time went by, God worked again in his heart, drew him to that situation of opening the word and reading it. And eventually, Bruce gave his life to Christ. It was a tremendous change. And within 3 months of the time he gave his life to Christ, and he began to work with other prisoners then as a witness, called, which wonderful opportunity in the Sunday school to hear this morning, and the challenge that we need to share that faith. And Bruce was doing that. They called him to the warden's office. He said, I didn't do anything wrong. They said, they just told us you're to go to the warden's office. So he went to the warden's office, and the warden says, you've been granted a full release. You are a free man. You may leave. After he left prison, pastor of a church got him into Bible school. He finished his training, back to Greensboro, back to the inner city, began a church, began to work with the prison there, and God has used him greatly in reaching people for Christ. And God often does that with people. He takes them back to something they're familiar with and uses them in a ministry area like that. Now, that's not 100% thing, but it certainly was in Bruce's case. So I appreciate your attention and time and your support again of the Gideons, thanking you for the fact that you help us reach people for Christ through the placing of God's word. So, Pastor, I will turn it back to you. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Keith. How many of you heard of Robbie Zacharias? Oh, yes. God used Robbie Zacharias as apologetics. Fancy word for, I guess you could say he was a real expert in theology. God used him to debate with the professors of universities. And but God really, really used him. And I pray that those of his friends will also be used like him to continue that, because we certainly need ministry in our universities, because many of them have gotten corrupt professors teaching socialism. If you're wondering why our America's going to socialism, you can blame that on the heathenistic professors that seem to pervade our once Christian colleges. They were once Christian colleges, but they bow to federal funding, and federal funding says you've got to have so many of these teachers in there. And so because they bowed to federal funding, that's how they got in there. And it's sad, because it looks like many of our young people's lives have been corrupted with this heathenistic teaching that communism and socialism is the best thing for America. Well, it's not. It's not. And the more we study the book of Revelation, it'll help you. You won't be confused on how to vote. I'll guarantee you, when we're done with Revelation, you'll know exactly how to vote, because you'll know the future. You'll see the signs. You see, you ought to be able to read the signs. God has wanted you to be able to read the signs of the times, not just pastors. You can read the signs. You can know. Watch Israel. Watch what happens to Israel is one of the signs. Watch what happens and what's going on in Israel. And that'll really help out in what's happening here in America. When we turn our back on Israel, God turns his back on America. Just remember that. When we turn our back on them, God turns his back on us. So we got to keep that in mind always. So, Lord willing, next week we'll continue our study on the book of Revelation. We'll do a little review in the Church of Sardis. We'll get into the Church of Philadelphia. We will talk about the rapture of the church in the Church of Philadelphia. We will look at the rapture, what the purpose of the rapture is, when does the rapture take place. That will be in our next study in the book of the Church of Philadelphia. Will you stand with me? By the way, how many of you liked math when you was in school? What was your favorite subject? Was math your favorite subject? I believe study hall was mine. No, no, it's just history. I liked history. But we got a couple math people here, Keith. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful and beautiful day. Thank you for the ministry of the Gideon ministry. Thank you for Brother Keith. Continue to watch over him, give him the health that he needs to continue what you've called him to do, is to spread the gospel, to share your word, to place your word where many can receive it, many will need it. Father, your word does not return void. It accomplishes everything you desire and want. So thank you. It was blessed to be here today. What an honor. We give you the praise and the glory. Lord, you are so deserving of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.